Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today. I know a lot of our church family is traveling with fall break. Thank you for being present. What a great day as we come together, study God's Word, sing praise to God, and I'm so honored by your presence. It's helping me in my faith. Let me ask you to turn to Mark chapter 7. That's where we are today, verses 31 through 37, Mark chapter 7. And we're going to talk about how we need to learn to love like Jesus. So that's what we're looking for in this passage in Mark chapter 7 as we make our way through the Gospel of Mark. And we are moving around the halfway point and appreciate you hanging with us as we go verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark. Picking up Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 31. Again, leaving the region of Tyre, he went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had difficulty speaking and begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. So he took him away from the crowd in private. After putting his fingers in the man's ears and spitting, he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. He ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. They were extremely astonished and said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Let's join together in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time to study your word. We believe your word is true. It's given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to us that we might learn and grow and have you revealed to us, Father, everything we need to know for life and godliness. Most importantly, revealing to us the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, today for those who do not know Jesus, that they would make a decision to follow him. And we pray, Father, for those of us who have trusted Christ, that we would take on the love of Christ toward other people. So, Father, help us toward that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when something has changed your life, you want to tell other people about it, right? Some of you are really into a certain brand of a certain thing, for example. You believe that your brand of vehicle is the only brand of vehicle that should be driven. How many people in here, you're a Chevy person? You're all into Chevy. Would you raise your hand? I would be ashamed too. Keep those hands down. Thank you. How many Ford people in the room? Ford people, yeah. And then some of you, you might say, well, I'm Toyota, I'm Nissan, I'm whatever brand, but your vehicle is the type of vehicle, if people were smart, they buy your kind of vehicle. Your brand of clothing or shoes. Some of you are like, oh, my feet hurt all the time, but then I bought this particular brand of shoes, and they're the best shoes ever. And if you would buy these kind of shoes, then your feet wouldn't hurt. You'd have life all great like me. And then people get really ramped up about diets and exercise, don't they? Some of you, you're like all about keto. If you know about keto, it'd change your life. Other people, you're like, I'm vegan. We don't have to ask y'all. Y'all tell us. You know, with CrossFit, you'll tell us. We don't need to ask. It's going to come out. But you're real pumped up about it. It changed your life. So you want everybody else to know how it can change their lives. Now, some of you, you're really out there on the edge. You figured it out. And don't come after me after the service. But you're into essential oils. At night, I got my diffuser going. It helps me sleep. And if you would use these essential oils, you would sleep too. If you're sick, use this kind of oil. It'll make you better. And some of you are getting mad. You're shutting your Bible. I'm done with him. I'm not even listening anymore. I'm done. If he tried it, he'd know. Because you're passionate about it. Changed your life. Andrew's here today. His friend, he was sick about a week ago, and she convinced him to use essential oils. Put some on. It'll make you feel better when you sleep. He woke up. He felt a little better. He also pointed out he took NyQuil. So I don't know what happened. I think it's the NyQuil. But I'm thinking, son, I raised you not to do that kind of thing. Give me your man card. You're always done. Essential oils. I don't know. Some of y'all are really into that. But the point is, when you get excited about something, when it changed your life, you want to tell people. And I'm just making light of some stuff, but some of you are going to come out of the service and you're going to try to convince me that it does change your life, whatever thing it is. What's the most life-changing thing a person can ever experience? It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? I mean, all of us are here today not because we didn't have anywhere we could have gone for fall break. Not because it wouldn't have been a good day to sleep in, or we could have gone to brunch, or whatever else. We're not here just because there was nothing else to do. We're here because our lives have been changed radically because of our faith in Jesus. We are born again, made into new creations, a whole new person. We have a life-changing relationship, an eternity-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have something like that, more than diets and exercise and brand names, you want to talk about something that changed you at that level. Something that changed you that dramatically. We should be telling everybody everywhere about the Savior we came to know, just like the people at the end of our passage. They were going around proclaiming everywhere what Christ had done. Because we recognize, if you were here last week, we recognize what we discovered there, that we are desperate and destitute sinners. There's nothing good in us. By nature, we're terrible people. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And because of Jesus Christ and the life change he has brought, we have been redeemed. We were once lost and desperate and destitute and separated from God and filthy and awful and all the rest. But Christ came and he changed everything. When Christ does a work like that, when your life has been changed, you should want to talk about it. You know, life can be really tough, can't it? Even with Jesus, life's still hard. So we should look around today and see in our community people who are hurting, people who are having a tough time, and present to them the solution, the one who fixes all things ultimately. We should be inspired today to tell all the world about the Christ we have discovered, but sadly, that's often not what we're inspired to do. It's quite the opposite. We often lack the passion, the zeal, the follow-through when it comes to helping hurting people and talking about Jesus. And today I want us to learn to love like Jesus Christ. To see in this passage what we need to do, how we can change, and how we can make a difference in this world. In this passage we find some things that we desperately need today. If you're making notes, number one, we need Jesus' heart. Jesus, we find, cared about people, and we need his heart for people. As we talked about last time, people of all walks of life, all types of backgrounds, people of all races and social classes and all other distinctions. In our text here, we find that Jesus is continuing his ministry among the Gentile population. You recall that these people, the Gentiles, were despised by the Jewish people. The Pharisees in particular really looked down on the Gentile world. These were the non-Jewish people. Those were the Gentiles. And they could not stand the Gentiles. They weren't even, in the eyes of the faithful Jew, the Gentiles were not even considered to be people. They were less than human. They were subhuman types of people. They were morally impure. They were spiritually unclean. They were considered to be mongrels. Remember that story last week? The lady who Jesus referred to as a dog. She was a mongrel in the eyes of the Jewish people. That's what Gentiles were, the dregs of society. They needed to be avoided by all measures and at all costs. But once again, we see the love of Christ as he goes further into the Gentile world. The one who is the Savior and Messiah of the Jewish people. The one who has come for God's chosen people once again injects himself into a Gentile population to show his love for all people. Jesus ministered about 3 years in his public ministry. Many people believe that Jesus in those 3 years spent as many as 8 months ministering among the Gentiles. So Jesus went to people who were not part of God's chosen people. Jesus came first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles, yet he spent nearly a quarter of his ministry ministering among the Gentile population. Jesus reveals here his heart. Jesus sought out the common man, the man who was cast off. He didn't come for the good people. Jesus doesn't show up and say, okay, all the attractive people come to me, all the rich people, all the intelligent people. No, he came for all people. And likewise today, Jesus seeks after all people. And he does that through his people. He does it through all of us, through people who have his same heart. The people of Thomasville First Baptist Church, he's called us to go and to take his love to every single person in Thomas County. And that's why we try to grow our church and reach people. We don't try to go after lost people and grow our church to be a bigger church, but because seeing people get saved and baptized and assimilated and attending means we're reaching people and we're discipling people. We're not trying to grow because we want to have a numerical increase. It's because every number represents a person. And this is the heart of Jesus, to see more and more people come to know him. Not numbers that are an end unto themselves, but numbers that represent people. We see the pure motives of Jesus and the way he helped this deaf and nearly mute man. He wasn't trying to build his brand. He wasn't trying to become an influencer. He wasn't trying to expand his earthly kingdom. He was seeking the hearts of hurting people. And Jesus would remind preachers and church members today, it's not just about getting a bunch of people into a room and say we had a big crowd on a Sunday. He would remind us today that church is not about comfort and preference and benefits afforded to people who might treat their church membership like a country club membership, with ministries that serve us rather than opportunities to serve, consumerism rather than a crucified life. Jesus would teach us it's about people. It's about having a heart for people. Look again, if you will, at verse 33. We see here the heart of Jesus is for other people. Rather than a platform, rather than building an expansive stage and having a crusade for all to come and watch and Jesus to just build his reputation and sell some books and all the rest, it says he took him away from the crowd in private. It wasn't about his own acclaim. It wasn't about increasing his social media followers or gaining notoriety. Instead, he took the guy away from the crowds. Jesus was concerned with displaying his love for this man in need, not in just building a reputation. God help us to always put aside our agendas, our comfort, to focus on loving people. Loving them with a heart that's been changed by Jesus. Being constantly reminded that who we are as Christian people and what we do as a church is not about us. It's about Jesus and it's about others. We need Jesus' heart. Number two, we need Jesus' focus. Look at verse 34. As he was in the process of bringing healing, this man, it says, there he looking up to heaven. This was indicative of a strong prayer life in Jesus. In spite of his busy ministry, his hurried pace, his spirit was not hurried. Remember when we started out looking at the Gospel of Mark and kind of breaking down the big picture of what was transpiring, we talked about how Mark presented to us an action-packed gospel. All the time, over and over, if you read in the Gospel of Mark, you'll read where Mark uses the word immediately. Jesus heals here, and immediately he goes there. Jesus did this, and immediately he went and did this other thing. It's an action-packed, Jesus-on-the-move story. But he was never hurried. Let's be reminded today that effective, impactful ministry begins in doing what Jesus did here, looking toward heaven in prayer. If we do not stop to pray, we will be limited in our effectiveness. That's why, honestly, as Christian people, we find that so much of what we do has so little impact. It produces so little result for the kingdom of God because it lacks the power of prayer to make it effective. So I want to challenge you today about this. We've mentioned it once or twice, but in the weeks to come, we're going to be launching out with an initiative of Who's Your One? Challenging us to each individually think about who's the one person God is laying on my heart to tell about Jesus. I believe that's something, if you pray that prayer, God's going to tell you, here's the person. Because he wants every single one of us sharing his love. So I want to challenge you now to begin praying, to begin asking God, God, who's my one? Who's the one person I need to tell about Jesus in these days and weeks and months to come? And start praying for that person's salvation, because prayer empowers our efforts to reach lost people, and it infuses God's love into our hearts. It empowers everything, and without prayer, we will not be successful and effective at reaching people. We need the focus of Jesus, looking up to heaven, it says. Number three, loving like Jesus means we need his compassion. Verse 34 continues, we see the compassion of Jesus expressed. He looks up to heaven and he sighed deeply. He sighed deeply. Jesus was deeply moved by the tough situation that this man was living in each day. And the sigh of Jesus is a vivid reminder of the compassion that Jesus has on the hurting people of this world. You see, when Jesus looks upon the disfigured body of a paralytic, the simplicity of those with developmental disabilities, or just the average Joe struggling with life issues like so many in this room today, when Jesus looks upon hurt, he has compassion. Today, with your hurt, the Lord hurts. The Lord knows your suffering. Someone said it this way, there's no place where earth's sorrows are more felt than in heaven. God's not oblivious to your suffering. Jesus has compassion, as he did with this man when he sighed deeply. And today, because of the pain and hardship of others, it moves the heart of Jesus, and therefore it should move our hearts too. If we say that Christ is in us, and the heart of Jesus is to love people who are hurting, then we should have that same type of compassion. We should sigh and sorrow over poverty, over disease, abuse, depression, any and every other kind of hurt that people are facing. And we should be especially moved and broken every time we realize someone doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior. When's the last time in your life, honestly, when you were at the grocery store or walking downtown and you just looked at the people around you and you had compassion and a sense of brokenness because of the lostness around you? If your life's anything like mine, it can be quite sporadic, those kinds of feelings. I mean, if I'm in town, I've got to go do something. I'm going somewhere. I got to get the stuff at the store. I got to get back to the house. I got the next thing to get to. I've got to rush here. I've got to rush there. And before I know it, I'm forgetting about people around me. My heart's not breaking over the lostness that I'm encountering. Jesus said this in Matthew 9:35. It says he went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When's the last time again that you saw people and you went, you know what, that's a person right there, a sheep without a shepherd, a person without Jesus Christ? And Jesus said to his disciples in that passage, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus reminds us of the sad truth that there are not enough people who have compassion, who are broken over the lostness they encounter. The laborers are few. The people who really have Christ's compassion are not many. And let that change, let it be different today at Thomasville First Baptist, that we are challenged and moved and broken over lostness in the world, that we care about people in our community. We care about children who receive a shoebox because we want the gospel to permeate hearts here and all around the world. That leads us to our next point. Loving Jesus means we need his actions. Because true compassion doesn't just feel, it responds. It reaches out. What did Jesus do when he looked to heaven? He sighed deeply with compassion over the situation, and then he reached out to this man and he touched him. It was a bold thing to do. Jesus wasn't afraid he had touched lepers. He wasn't afraid that this man was a Gentile. The Pharisees could have the hands-off approach, but not Jesus. And today, what we must understand is that a hands-on approach is essential to any true expression of Christian faith. because the world isn't helped by us sitting in a room and feeling bad for them. If all we take from today is, yeah, there are a lot of lost people and I should care more than I do and I feel really bad about it, that does nothing for lostness in the world. The world is not rescued from hell because we feel guilty today. The world is rescued. They are helped when we actually help them. Jesus didn't just sigh and the story's over. He didn't just have compassion and that was it. He did something about what he encountered. This man was confused, could not hear, could not speak. There was no communication to be had. So Jesus, what does he do? He touches his ears. He touches his tongue to reveal to this man his intention. And likewise this morning, the church needs to act out the message of good news for those who cannot understand with a language universally understood, deeds of loving kindness. Why do we collect shoeboxes and send them to people? Why do we every week pack hundreds of backpacks for kids who are hungry? Why do we take mission trips and do humanitarian type things? Why do we go into nursing homes? Why do we do all these things that we do to show the love of Jesus? To have an incarnational ministry of Christ that we're not just sitting here hearing about it, thinking about it, feeling bad about it, but we're actually out there showing the love of Christ to lost people. Now it needs to go a step further. Finally, this morning, loving Jesus means that we need his words. We need his words. I always laugh. Back when Cindy was in college, we had intramural basketball. We were at Valdosta State at this time, and Cindy and some other girls formed a team, and they were going to be in the basketball league of Valdosta State as a way of meeting other young ladies and build relationships and share the gospel. So this Christian group of girls, they sat down and they tried to think of a name that was representative of what their mission was to reach people with the gospel. And they said, well, let's be the peacemakers, because they were going to bring peace to hearts. So, you know, that's a scary name when you're going to play the peacemakers. Look out. I mean, that's scary, right? So they turned in their name to be the peacemakers. And somewhere in the process, there was a typo and the E was left out and they were listed all season as the pacemakers. That's who they were, the pacemakers. Words matter. Words mean something. Jesus, with a heart of love and praying and sighing over the situation and expressing these actions toward this man, he did more than that. He didn't just stop there. He spoke a word and this man was healed. Look at verse 34. Jesus said, "Be opened." And the words pierced his ears. His tongue was loosened, and this man was able to speak. He had been healed. Today, kind gestures, compassion, humanitarian efforts, meeting physical needs, all that is incredible and good and right. And there's a lot of debate in Christian circles today, social justice and the gospel and what it all means. It's good to do good things. As Christian people, we should confront injustice. We should meet needs. But we must do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. We must speak words of healing. We have to express compassion, but it's coupled with an explanation of the gospel. Otherwise, we're just making people feel better on their way to destruction. It does them no good. So be challenged today that it's not enough to go out and to be a nice person. And volunteer a lot. And do good deeds. Take people meals. Give a guy at an exit ramp some money. We need to do things in the name of Jesus Christ. We show compassion. We meet needs. We confront injustice. We do all that. But we share the gospel around along the way so that people can know what motivates that kindness, what brings about that true love in our hearts, and what helps them to have the realization of eternal life. We have to share the gospel. And as we do so, a modern-day miracle will transpire before our eyes as people are transformed by the gospel and they are born again. So today, as we think about the love that Christ has expressed, have you loved hurting people the way Jesus loves them? When we do, healing will come to homes, to neighborhoods, to our churches, to our world? Have you been showing a hurting world and telling a hurting world about the love of Jesus Christ? I challenge you today to make a commitment that you're going to go forth and you're going to make a difference in the name of Christ in this world. You're going to love a lost world. You're going to have brokenness over people who do not know Christ. And that you're not just going to talk about shoes and diets and exercise and all the things that have changed your life and meant so much to you. But more than all of that, you're going to talk about the one who's truly brought change in your life, the one who's rescued you from sin, given to you eternal life, and adopted you into his family. You're going to talk about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I want you to know that the love that Jesus showed to the man in our story is the same love he shows to all people. If you're here this morning having never trusted Christ, I want you to know that Christ loves you today. And he sighs over your situation. He shows compassion toward what's hurting you. He applies to your life, if you'll receive it, the death on the cross that he expressed for you, the action he took for your salvation. And today, if you'll believe that Christ died for your sins and he's risen from the dead, you can be born again. As Scripture tells us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I invite you to trust in Christ today. If you've never allowed his love to heal you, he wants you to know his love this morning. To know that love, simply pray a prayer from your heart, giving your heart, your life, completely and totally to Jesus Christ. It's no magic in the words we speak. It's the heart that's driving it, the sincerity and commitment of you voicing yourself, giving your life to Jesus Christ.